Now, I want to check. Anybody have a good guilt experience this week? Okay, felt real guilty? Yeah. Anybody do that? Yeah. Anybody have at least one this week? Yeah. Sorry, don't. Yeah. A couple of you didn't get it. Okay, some of you have to go back a little farther. Okay, but, you know, good guilt experiences. Okay, but I've got some. Well, it kind of depends on where you are, whether you want to call it good news or bad news. But my sense is really, it's time for guilt to end. Yeah. Okay, ready to give it up?
Yes.
Yeah, now, no, you don't have to. Okay, we'll talk about how to do it, but if you want to keep it, it's okay. You know, and some of you will have people in your life who will try to help you keep it. Okay, but it's you know, that the thing we're working on today is let's make it optional at least, okay? Now, the truth is, we kind of like guilt. You know, it's been very helpful. I remember when you were a kid and grown up and, you know, hadn't figured it out yet. You were the spiritual being in this physical body and you were learning how to make it work and all those things and all the rules and, you know, so we're separate from each other, but, you know, what do I have to do to keep from you taking my toy and all that sort of stuff. And so we got the good, bad, right, wrong, and we learned that we could kind of tell when we were doing the wrong thing because we felt guilty. And some of us had people in our world that were very helpful in that kind of thing in our lives. So we got pretty good at it. And it was really helpful, you know, that sense that, okay, I kind of know when I'm off because, yeah, I feel guilty about it. And then this spiritual awakening begins to happen. And it disturbs a lot of things. But it begins to happen, and what takes place is we begin to move from that world. And if you look at guilt, it's really a fear reaction. You know, I'm not okay. And I might be vulnerable to you or somebody else's criticism through that. So, you know, it's that fear thing. But as we awaken to who we are, we begin to grow to where we have another option, to where we can live without our lives being controlled or based on fear. Without our lives being controlled or based on guilt. Wow. That's a different world. Now, what's really taking place is as the spiritual self matures, we are more aware of this connection that we have with the divine. And we desire to express more of that divine quality that is within us. And there's a beautiful way of just looking at the divine. I love the way it happens in the Quran. Now in the Quran, when they speak God's name, they add to it. And the words they keep adding to it are God the compassionate, God the merciful. Because it's so important to understand that that is the nature of God. It's not God the judgmental condemner that didn't show up. It's God the compassionate, God the merciful. Because that is part of the nature of the divine. So as we grow, we have the opportunity to step more and more into that compassionate, merciful self. And what if we were compassionate and merciful towards ourselves? Now there's another way of putting this that I really like a whole lot more. This is that amazing poet we know as Rumi says, "But listen to me for one moment. Quit being sad hear blessings dropping their blossoms around you. That guilt's kind of sad, isn't it? We don't feel good. We don't feel happy when we feel guilty. Quit being sad. Hear blessings dropping their blossoms around you. This beautiful divine presence. We can be in that guilt, or we can be in this other place. The awareness of the goodness, the love, the blessings. Now, we have a way of working with that in unity to kind of keep us aware of that when we're starting to slip into the other place. It goes something like, God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
You got it right. That's that same sad. Hear blessings dropping their blossoms all around you. What a beautiful understanding. Now there is a amazing discourse on this guilt experience that takes place in the Gospels, in the Gospel of John. At dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women." Now, just a side note. At that point, you should think to question anything that shows up in the Bible, okay? In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this basis as a trap in order to have a basis to accuse him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard him began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Understanding that when we look at these stories, what we're looking at is symbols of our awakening, of our spiritual journey. And we have a symbol here of guilt, guilty. And we have a woman, and the feminine in symbology is understood as that part of us that is a feeling nature. So we have the part of us that is feeling guilty. And we have the Pharisees. Okay, so we have a symbol of thought that is focused simply out of the head. So at that point, what you have is right, wrong, yes, no, good, bad. It's polarized. Because at that level of thinking, what happens is we perceive life dualistically. So instead of the one power that we were talking about earlier. So what happens is this is seen as a way of condemnation. Right, wrong, good, bad, the punishment. But Jesus is a symbol of what we call the Christ self, the Atman, the Buddha mind, the I am, that spiritual nature within us that has this capacity to put us in connection with our oneness with the divine. And so through there, what you have is then this capacity, and we see it in a particular symbol, Okay, so Jesus is this potential, this consciousness within us, and he stoops down and writes on the ground, the symbol of that which is the highest of the ideals and potentials brought down to touch the earth experience. In other words, to touch the very nature of the challenge that we experience in life. So this is the picture. And the result is that he takes us through a process. And the process is that he sends us into self-honesty. Those of you without sin. He's not, suddenly we're not looking out there, are we? We're looking within. We enter into a self-honesty, a capacity to perceive and understand ourselves. Okay, now that capacity is something that comes about through our potential for compassion. Compassion brings understanding. So his request is really understand yourself. In our honesty, if our honesty comes from the head, okay, if the direction had come from the Pharisees, okay, what you'll notice is when we're in that kind of thinking, it will focus in and it will go dualistic, right, wrong, yes, no. Okay, when a capacity, when that direction comes from the Christ symbol, then what happens is we move through the heart. And in that experience of compassion, we touch greater wisdom and understanding. So the result is we understand ourselves. And that's what we gain from life experience, is understanding. See, there's two things when we have an experience, right? We do something. That's just an experience, an action. And then we have the emotion. Well, okay, this is the emotion that we're talking about today, is that triggers the feeling of guilt. So what he does is take on the guilt by moving us into the heart, into the compassion, so that we end up understanding ourselves. So when we go into compassion and understanding for ourselves, we end up with wisdom. And that's what we gain from our life's experience. That's what the potential is, not pass, fail. What is the wisdom? Now, in the spiritual journey, some of your greatest wisdom has come when you've blown it the most.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah! Wow, have we done that? Okay, we're on this journey for wisdom. We have to get it right. We aren't there to make mom happy. She was good at telling us, you know, quit jerking the toy from your brother. But that's not really the assignment. It's the growth through it. And when we enter into an experience, when we go into compassion, the reason we are there is for understanding, for growth, not for guilt. Guilt was the way we disciplined ourselves as a child, because we did not have the spiritual awareness to motivate ourselves through love. Now we do. What a choice. But listen to me for one moment. Quit being sad. Hear blessings dropping their blossoms around you. Now, to bring it into a personal experience, this is the experience of a woman. Her name's Sarah Springfield, and Sarah shares what happened in a very special relationship. As a young girl, she had this little girlfriend, and they played together, and you know they were next door to each other, and they played together through elementary school and on up through high school, and they were just together all the time and shared their lives very deeply, just a very meaningful relationship. And then they went on to different colleges. And so in that, their relationship, they kept in touch, but it began to change a little bit. And it came to the point where her friend was going to get married. She was engaged to a guy, and Sarah really didn't think much of him. And so she emailed that to a friend. Now, we know what happens when we email, don't we? Okay. So naturally, it's going to get back to her good friend. Okay, and it's critical of her and this choice that she's about to make. And this is very important to her, and she's deeply hurt. Here's a best friend for years saying she's wrong. You know, rejecting her, rejecting this person who's important to her. So she ends the relationship. Now, that was very difficult for Sarah. And she shares the experience of her guilt this way. She says, "I blame myself for so many years for what happened. I was sick to my stomach over the loss of my wonderful friend and weighed down with the knowledge that it was my fault." You ever do that? It was my fault? Yeah. Guilt. Good. Deep. Solid. Guilt. Okay. But then what happens? Now, for Sarah, it didn't happen right away. It was over a period of time. And part of it was she didn't know how to do this. She had to just mature in her self-love in this situation as she gently let it in. But it's that same process that we're taking a hold of, and we can do quite directly and quickly. But after many years and putting it into perspective with everything else we both went through during those lost years, I stopped beating myself up for it. The truth is, our friendship in its previous capacity ended long before the email. Yes, I made a mistake and should not have betrayed our old trust. But that wasn't the only reason the friendship died. With that realization, I forgave myself and found peace. Wisdom is the result of the compassion, because love always contains intelligence, because love is God and its gift that comes with the understanding is peace. Guilt, peace, choice. Okay, now that, and what happens is in that place where we catch the guilt, and just if you're interested, just kind of give yourself permission to be aware. You don't have to go choosing to be guilty, but there's a chance that some good person at helping you get into guilt will show up into your life during this next week or two. Or one of those things that you've practiced for a long time doing guilt with will just invite you. It's just the universe doing its thing. Okay. So when it happens, we get into it and we're feeling it, and then suddenly we go, "I'm feeling guilty." There's that moment where we're aware. And at that moment, we have a choice. At that moment, we can choose compassion. Now sometimes we start with compassion out there just because it's easier. I mean, it's easier to realize that everybody else, it's okay for them to screw up. So sometimes we have to start out there, but then we're able to bring it in here. Compassion. And from compassion comes understanding. And that brings peace. Understanding lets us see the blossoms around us. Okay. Choose compassion. I choose compassion. Join me.
I choose compassion.
When that moment comes up, you're into a good guilt feeling together.
I choose compassion.
When that wonderful person in your family that can do it just by the way they look at you shows up together.
I choose compassion.
When you want to do it to somebody you're really good at doing it with.
Together.
I choose compassion.
What happens when you choose compassion? You listen to me for one moment. Quit being sad. Hear blessings dropping their blossoms around you. And you will. Bless you.